There you go. That's better. On this first Sunday of the new year is where does the star lead? That's the communion meditation this morning. And the scripture reading is the reading from the lectionary for today. It's the reading of the Magi's visit, really on their way to see Jesus, the visit of the Magi. And so listen as I read in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 2, this familiar story to many. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child to be born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to be shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy." Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet, and it is a light to the path that we take in this new year. Give us, we pray, grace to receive your truth today in faith and love, and may it nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, the King of heaven. Amen. Where does the star lead? That's the question for this morning. Where does the star lead? And some of you may answer, it leads to the baby Jesus. Well, it does, but not so fast, because there are a lot of lessons we can learn from this story about the Magi traveling to see Jesus. First lesson, the Christmas star led the wise men to Jesus. It led them on a new venture. They were doing something that was new. It was an adventure for those wise men to leave the safety of their homes and travel through the Mideast. They had tracked down from the prophecies that the King of the Jews would be born, and they felt it would be in the capital city, Jerusalem. And so they headed to Jerusalem. They had studied also this fact in the Old Testament, specifically from the prophet Daniel in the book of Daniel, about the ruler would be born under a radiant light. And in the Hebrew, that word radiant light is also translated star. And when they saw that radiant star in the heavens, they left their home and they began that new venture. And so we can think this morning of the wise men as early explorers, perhaps very early scientists. They studied the skies with their naked eye, and they were able to observe this unusual star that appeared, and then later in the story, it reappears if you read the story closely. They began and took a risk and took off from the familiar to the unfamiliar. And so the question that comes to me when I read this story is how many of us are ready to take a new risk? How many of us are ready to take a new venture? Because God continually calls us to step out in faith as we journey through life. And so often when you read through the New Testament, you notice that the followers of Jesus, they were very reluctant to take on a new task or embrace a new understanding that Jesus was teaching, or to take on a new attitude. And when that happens for us, faith can languish. Faith suffers. When we do not risk, when we do not accept change, we fail to see the wonderment of God's gift of faith to us and the power of faith for living. God's gift of faith, it readies us for each new day, whether we're ready or not. That's the gift of faith. It prepares us for the future. It prepares us for tomorrow with whatever may come. And it's true in our lives. It's also true in the church. The death of the church is when you hear people saying the last seven words of the church. You know what those are? We've never done it that way before. It's the last seven words of the church. We've got to travel in our thinking as people of faith in 2020. Can you believe it's 2020? And in 2020, the church may well have to travel and do things in new ways which are unfamiliar. If we're going to face all the challenges in our time and all the issues before us, we will have to do that. Perhaps the lesson here is just as the wise men were open to meet God, we have to be open for a new opportunity. I remember Nevada Coppinger in my home church in Tennessee, in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. And yes, one of my gifts for Christmas was a Soddy Daisy Opoly. They're now making Soddy Daisy Opoly for, and it's the 50th anniversary of Soddy Daisy, so you may hear a lot about Soddy Daisy in this new year. But Nevada Coppinger was the organist in that little church for over 50 years. And when the church was rallying for some big event that they would do, she would say, and she would turn to everyone on a Wednesday Bible study, and she would say, "Some of us need to get off of our rusty, dusty, and get busy." That was Nevada, and people cherished Nevada. The story of the wise men says that there is something special that awaits us at the finish when we go on a new venture. Secondly, if we dare to follow the Christmas star, just as the wise men did, remember that when you follow Jesus Christ, you'll be given a new way of looking at the world, a new vision. Our eyes need to be heavenward in this new year and not downward, not earthbound. The wise men looked up. Remember, they were studying the stars with naked eyes. They didn't have the fancy telescopes that we have today. And so many people are engrossed in the matters of the earth, so busy in just getting by that they never bother to look perhaps up at Him. Don't you feel that way, that there are a lot of people that never really sense God's presence in their life or even try to stretch themselves to high ideals and the high values to which God calls us to live? If we're not careful, we can become so engrossed that we become earthbound and we forget the vision to which we are called as people of faith. I remember years ago, actually it was my very first funeral in this community, some 14 years ago. It was at a local funeral home. And I was called and agreed to go and do a funeral for a man. He wasn't part of any church, but his family wanted a minister to conduct his funeral, and so I went. I asked his wife before the service, I said, "Tell me about your husband." And she said, "Well, first and last, all you need to know is that he never missed a Tampa Bay football game." That's it. Were there no higher dreams to call him forward? Was there nothing else that inspired him? I was reading a novel the other day which described a character this way. I thought it was an interesting way to describe a character in a novel. It said he was a very young man, and when he found a dime on the road, he never lifted up his eyes again. And then it went on. It says, at the end of 40 years of looking downward, he had found 34,900 buttons, 57,000 pins, over 10,000 pennies, and had a bent back and a terrible disposition. And that describes a lot of people that you may know, right? I remind you that the English word that's behind the word worship is the word worth and the word ship. Worth-ship. And that means to proclaim and give something you consider precious to give it supreme value in your life, worth-ship. We come on Sundays to honor what is truly worthy in our lives in following, namely God and service to others. We come to look up to Him who loves us and sent His Son for us. That's what we do here. Every Sunday, we come to look up. Third, the Christmas star leads us to a visitation that's global and beyond that. There are many things we don't know about the wise men, but one thing we do know is that they were Gentiles. They were likely from Persia. Now, they had been on a trip for a year and a half or more to find this new ruler, this new king of the Jews that had been born, but they were not Jews. They were Gentiles. And the New Testament reminds us again and again that Jesus is to be Lord of all the nations of the earth. We are to go out and proclaim His name to all people. He will be, you see, a universal Lord. A universal Lord. And we, the Gentiles, are included. And that's what Epiphany tomorrow is all about. The wise men, by the way, an interesting note, the wise men almost missed the baby Jesus. Because while they had studied in the book of Daniel about the ruler that would be born under the radiant light, and while they followed that star, they assumed that the king of the Jews would be born in the capital city of Israel in Jerusalem. And so they went to Jerusalem. But note very carefully that what Herod did when they got there, because they were looking for the king, the new king, and all were afraid because they were doing that. And so they called the chief priests and scribes together, and they quoted to the wise men from the book of Micah. They said, Micah tells us that the king of the Jews will be born in Bethlehem. And so that's how the wise men knew to travel 9 miles south to Bethlehem. They were close, but just a little off target. But what directed them to Bethlehem? The scriptures did. And so perhaps another lesson for us, if we are to follow Jesus Christ in this new year, in 2020, then it will be the scriptures that will help us to find who He is and what He calls us to do. The scriptures. It did for the wise men. So remember also in this new year that the goal you are seeking may just be around the corner. It may be just nearby. You're close. And so tomorrow, Monday, is called on the Christian calendar Epiphany. And it means to make clear or to make known. And even though Tarpon High School will have a day of school, no students will go to school tomorrow at Tarpon High, or very few. They'll go to the diving of the Epiphany Cross and that great celebration that takes place locally every year. But it means to make clear or make known. And what is revealed by the coming wise men is that Jesus is not just the Savior of the people of the Middle East. We join with Russians and Scandinavians and Canadians and French and Germans and Italians and Spanish and Christians in Central and South America and Africa and in Korea and Iraq, and on it goes. Because Epiphany means that Christ is to be the light of the world. And that means He will never be Lord of only our kind or only of our nation. He will be the King of all nations and all people, and He welcomes at this table all who will visit Him, all who come. Now, the stars don't usually make us feel big, but in this story, they should. When we look at all the countless stars, and I encourage you to do that at night, oftentimes it can make you feel inferior. It can make you feel astronomically intimidated. And yet the Christmas star leads us to Jesus, and it reminds us that His birth was to save us. It's the story, the drama of salvation, Jesus' birth and His stellar life, His death and His rising from death were all done on our behalf. And so you are of immense value to God. As Fred Drew used to say at communion, He died for you. as he handed you the bread. That's what Fred drew. And so why not travel with the Christmas star this year and go where it leads? And if you do that, you will discover that today it hovers over the table of our Lord. If you follow him, it will lead you, I guarantee you, on a new venture. It will give you a new vision for living. It will bring you to an understanding that his visitation is to all people and not just us. And it will give us a renewed sense of self-worth and value. You are precious in his eyes. And so the Christmas star does lead us to him. And when we find him, we discover he is the Lord of the heavens. He is the cosmic Christ, the light of the world and everywhere. And he is the light I encourage you to follow in spite of the darkness we find in this world. Let us now come to the Lord's table through prayer. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we come to your table on this first Sunday of the new year, we claim with certainty the words of the psalmist, "You, O Lord, you are my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord, you are the stronghold of my life," says the psalmist. "To whom shall I be afraid?" O Lord, as we come to your table, we learn that we are welcome, and people everywhere are welcome to come. Your word for us and all people is relevant for day to each person here. And we come, especially those who labor and are weary, those who are burdened with life, and we come to you knowing that we will find rest and strength for our souls and for the journey ahead. As we come, we thank you for the glory of your cross and your resurrection and your love for the world that you came to save. And we pray for our world this day. We pray for peace among all peoples. Help us to be people of peace and to go and follow where Jesus Christ leads us. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.